Gospel Sonnets by Ralph Erskine. Part 1, The Believer's Espousals Continued. Chapter 2, The Manner of a Sinner's Divorce from the Law in a Work of Humiliation, and of His Marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, or The Way How a Sinner Comes to be a Believer. Section 1, Of a Law Work and the Workings of Legal Pride Under It. So proud's the bride, so backwardly disposed, how then shall e'er the happy match be closed? Kind grace the tumults of her heart must quell, and draw her heavenward by the gates of hell. The bridegroom's father makes, by his Holy Spirit, his stern command with her stiff conscience meet, to dash her pride, and show her outmost deed, pursues for double debt with awful dread. He makes her former husband's frightful ghost appear and damn her as a bankrupt lost. With curses, threats, and Sinai thunderclaps, her lofty tower of legal boasting saps. These humbling storms, in high or low degrees, Heaven's majesty will measure as he please. But still he makes the fiery law at least pronounce its awful sentence in her breast, till through the law, convict of being lost, she hopeless to the law gives up the ghost, which now in rigor comes full debt to crave, and in close prison cast, but not to save. For now 'tis weak and can't, through our default, its greatest votaries to life exalt. But well it can command with fire and flame, and to the lowest pit of ruin damn. Thus doth it, by commission from above, deal with the bride when heaven would court her love. Lo, now she startles at the Sinai trump, which throws her soul into a dismal dump, conscious another husband she must have, else lie forever in destruction's grave. While in conviction's jail she's thus enclosed, glad news are heard, the royal mates proposed. And now the scornful bride's inverted stir is racking fear he scorns to match with her. She dreads his fury, and despairs that he will ever wed so vile a wretch as she. And here the legal humor stirs again, to her prodigious loss and grievous pain, for when the prince presents himself to be her husband, then she deems, ah, is not he too fair a match for such a filthy bride? Unconscious that the thought berays her pride, even pride of merit, pride of righteousness, expecting heaven should love her for her dress, unmindful how the fall her face did stain and made her but a black unlovely swain, her whole primeval beauty quite defaced, and to the rank of fiends her form debased, without disfigured and defiled within, uncapable of anything but sin. Heaven's courts, not any for their comely face, but for the glorious praise of sovereign grace, else ne'er had courted one of Adam's race, which all as children of corruption be, heirs rightful of immortal misery. Yet here the bride employs her foolish wit, for this bright match her ugly form to fit, to daub her features o'er with legal paint, that with a grace she may herself present. Hopeful the prince with credit might her wed, if once some comely qualities she had. In humble pride her haughty spirit flags, she cannot think of coming all in rags. Were she a humble, faithful penitent, she dreams he'd then contract with full content. Base varlet, thinks she'd be a match for him, did she but deck herself in handsome trim? Ah, foolish thoughts, in legal deeps that plod, ah, sorry notions of a sovereign God! Will God expose his great, his glorious Son, for our vile baggage to be sold and won? Should sinful modesty the match decline, until its garb be brisk and superfine? Alas, when should we see the marriage day? The happy bargain must flee up for a. Presumptuous souls in surly modesty, half-saviors themselves, would fondly be. Then hopeful the other half their due will fall, disdain to be in Jesus' debt for all. Vainly the first would wash themselves and then address the fountain to be washed more clean, first heal themselves and then expect the balm. Ah, many slightly cure their sudden qualm. They heal their conscience with a tear or prayer, and seek no other Christ but perish there. O sinner, search the house and see the thief that spoils thy Saviour's crown, thy soul's relief. The hid but heinous sin of unbelief, who can possess a quality that's good till first he come to Jesus' cleansing blood? The power that draws the bride will also show unto her by the way her hellish hue, as void of every virtue to commend, and full of every vice that will offend. Till sovereign grace the sullen bride shall catch, she'll never fit herself for such a match. Most qualified they are in heaven to dwell, who see themselves most qualified for hell. And ere the bride can drink salvation's cup, kind heaven must reach to hell and lift her up. For no decorum e'er about her found is she beloved but on a nobler ground. Jehovah's love is like his nature, free, nor must his creature challenge his decree. But lo, at sovereign grace's footstool creep, whose waves are searchless and his judgments deep. Yet grace's suit meets with resistance rude from haughty souls, for lack of innate good to recommend them. Thus the backward bride affronts her suitor with her modest pride. Black hatred, for his offered love repays, pride under mask of modesty displays. In part would save herself, hence, saucy soul, rejects the matchless mate would save in whole. Section 2. Conviction of sin and wrath, carried on more deeply and effectually on the heart. So proudly forward is the bride, and now stern heaven begins to stare with cloudier brow. Law curses come with more condemning power to scorch her conscience with a fiery shower, and more refulgent flashes darted in, for by the law the knowledge is of sin. Black Sinai thundering louder than before, does awful in her lofty bosom roar. Heaven's furious storms now rise from every earth or wind, in ways more terrible to shake the earth, till haughtiness of men be sunk thereby, that Christ alone may be exalted high. Now stable earth seems from her center tossed, and lofty mountains in the ocean lost. Hard rocks of flint and haughty hills of pride are torn in pieces by the roaring tide. Each flash of new conviction's lucid rays, heart errors undiscerned till now displays. Wrath's massy cloud upon the conscience breaks, and thus menacing heaven in thunder speaks. Black wretch, thou madly underfoot hast trod the authority of a commanding God. Thou, like thy kindred that in Adam fell, art but a law-reversing lump of hell, and there by law and justice doomed to dwell. Now, the daunted bride her state bewails, and downward furls her self-exalting sails, with pungent fear and piercing terror brought, to mortify her lofty legal thought. Why, the commandment comes, sin is revived, that lay so hid while to the law she lived. Infinite majesty in God is seen, and infinite malignity in sin. That to its expiation must amount a sacrifice of infinite account. Justice its dire severity displays, the law its vast dimensions open lays. She sees for this broad standard nothing meet, save an obedience sinless and complete. Her cobweb righteousness, once in renown, is with a happy vengeance now swept down. She who of daily faults could once but prate, sees now her sinful, miserable state. Her heart, where once she thought some good to dwell, the devil's cabinet filled with trash of hell. Her boasted features now unmasked bare, her vaunted hopes are plunged in deep despair. Her haunted shelter-house in bypassed years comes rumbling down about her frightened ears. Her former rotten faith, love, penitence, she sees a bowing wall and tottering fence. Excellencies of thought and word and deed, all swimming, drowning in a sea of dread. Her beauty now deformity she deems, her heart much blacker than the devil seems. With ready lips she can herself declare the vilest ever breathed in vital air. Her former hopes, as refuges of lies, are swept away and all her boasting dies. She once imagined heaven would be unjust to damn so many lumps of human dust, formed by himself, but now she owns it true. Damnation surely is the sinner's due. Yea, now applauds the law's just doom so well that justly she condemns herself to hell. Does herein divine equity acquit, herself adjudging to the lowest pit? Her language, oh, if God condemn, I must from bottom of my soul declare him just. But if his great salvation me embrace, how loudly will I sing surprising grace! If from the pit he to the throne me raise, I'll rival angels in his endless praise. If hell deserving me to heaven he bring, no heart so glad, no tongue so loud shall sing. If wisdom has not led the saving plan, I nothing have to claim, I nothing can. My works but sin, my merit death I see. Oh, mercy, 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 pity me. Thus all self-justifying pleas are dropped. Most guilty she becomes, her mouth is stopped. Pungent remorse does her past conduct blame, and flush her conscious cheek with spreading shame. Her self-conceited heart is self-convicted, with barbed arrows of compunction pricked. Wonders how justice spares her vital breath, how patient heaven adjourns the day of wrath, how pliant earth does not with open jaws devour her, Cora-like, for equal cause, how yawning hell that gapes for such a prey is frustrate with a further hour's delay. She that could once her mighty works exalt and boast devotion framed without a fault, extol her natural powers is now brought down, her former madness not her powers to own, her present beggar state most void of grace, unable even to wail her woeful case, quite powerless to believe, repent, or pray. Thus pride of duties flies and dies away. She, like a hardened wretch, a stupid stone, lies in the dust and cries, undone, undone. Section 3. The deeply humbled soul relieved with some saving discoveries of Christ the Redeemer. When thus the wounded bride perceives full well herself the vilest sinner out of hell, the blackest monster in the universe, pensive if clouds of woe shall e'er disperse. When in her breast heaven's wrath so fiercely glows, twixt fear and guilt her bones have no repose. When flowing billows of amazing dread swell to a deluge o'er her sinking head. When nothing in her heart is found to dwell but horrid atheism, enmity, and hell. When endless death and ruin seems at hand, and yet she cannot for her soul command a sigh to ease it, or a gracious thought, though heaven could at this petty rate be bought. When darkness and confusion overcloud, and unto black despair temptations crowd. When wholly, without strength to move or stir, and not a star by night appears to her, but she, while to the brim her troubles flow, stands trembling on the outmost brink of woe. Ah, weary case! But lo, in this sad plight, the sun arises with surprising light. The darkest midnight is his usual time of rising and appearing in his prime. To show the hills from whence salvation springs, and chase the gloomy shade with golden wings, the glorious husband now unveils his face, and shows his glory full of truth and grace, presents unto the bride in that dark hour, himself a savior, both by price and power. A mighty helper to redeem the lost, relieve and ransom to the uttermost, to seek the vagrant sheep to desert driven, and save from lowest hell to highest heaven. Her doleful case he sees, his bowels move, and make her time of need a time of love. He shows to prove himself her mighty shield, his name is Jesus, by his Father sealed. A name with attributes engraved within, to save from every attribute of sin. With wisdom sin's great folly to expose, and righteousness its chain of guilt to loose. Sanctification to subdue its sway, redemption all its woeful brood to slay. Each golden letter of his glorious name bears full deliverance both from sin and shame. Yea, not privation bare from sin and woe, but thence all positive salvation flow. To make her wise, just, holy, happy too, he now appears a match exactly meet to make her every way in him complete. In whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells, that she may boast in him and nothing else. In gospel lines she now perceives the dawn of Jesus' love with bloody pencil drawn. How God in him is infinitely pleased, and heaven's revenging fury whole appeased. Law precepts magnified by her beloved, and every let to stop the match removed. Now in her view the prison gates break ope, wide to the walls flies up the door of hope. And now she sees with pleasure unexpressed, for shattered barks a happy shore of rest. Section 4. The workings of the spirit of faith in separating the heart from all self-righteousness, and drawing out its consent to and desire after Christ alone and wholly. The bride at Sinai little understood how these law humblings were designed for good. To enhance the value of the husband's blood, the tower of tottering pride thus battered down makes way for Christ alone to wear the crown. Conviction's arrows pierced her heart, that so the blood from his pierced heart to hers might flow. The law's sharp plough tears up the fallow ground, where not a grain of grace was to be found. Till straight behind the plough is sown the hidden seed of faith, as yet unknown. Hence now the once reluctant bride's inclined to give the gospel an assenting mind. Disposed to take, would grace the power impart, heaven's offer with a free consenting heart. His spirit in the gospel chariot rides, and shows his loving heart to draw the bride's. Though oft in clouds his drawing power he hides, his love and gracious offers to her bears in kindly answers to her doubts and fears, resolving all objections, more or less, from former sins or present worthlessness, persuades her mind of conjugal consent, and then empowers her heart to say, content. Content to be divorced from the law, no more the yoke of legal terms to draw. Content that he dissolve the former match, and to himself alone her heart attach. Content to join with Christ at any rate, and wed him as her everlasting mate. Content that he should ever wear the bays, and of her whole salvation have the praise. Content that he should rise, though she should fall, and to be nothing, that he may be all. Content that he, because she naught can do, do for her all work, and in her too. Here she a peremptory mind displays, that he do all the work, get all the praise. And now she is, which ne'er till now took place, content entirely to be saved by grace. She owns that her damnation just would be, and therefore her salvation must be free. That nothing being hers but sin and thrall, she must be debtor unto grace for all.
Hence comes she to him in her naked case, to be invested with his righteousness. She comes as guilty to a pardon free, as vile and guilty to a cleansing sea, as poor and empty to the richest stock, as weak and feeble to the strongest rock, as perishing unto a shield from thrall, as worse than nothing to an all in all. She, as a blinded mole, an ignorant fool, comes for instruction to the prophet's school. She, with a hell-deserving conscious breast, flees for atonement to the worthy priest. She, as a slave to sin and Satan, wings her flight for help unto the King of Kings. She, all her maladies and plagues brings forth to this physician of eternal worth.
She spreads before his throne her filthy sore, and lays her broken bones down at his door. No might she has to buy a crumb of bliss, and therefore comes impoverished as she is. By sin and Satan, of all good bereft, comes e'en as bare as they her soul have left, to sense as free of holiness within, as Christ the spotless Lamb was free of sin. She comes by faith, true, but it shows her want, and brings her as a sinner, not a saint. A wretched sinner flying for her good, to justifying, sanctifying blood. Strong faith, no strength nor power of acting vaunts, but acts in sense of weakness and of wants. Drained now of everything that men may call terms and conditions of relief from thrall, except this one, that Jesus be her all. When to the bride he gives espousing faith, it finds her under sin and guilt and wrath, and makes her as a plagued wretch to fall, at Jesus' footstool for the cure of all. Her whole salvation now in him she seeks, and musing thus, perhaps in secret speaks, "Lo, all my burdens may in him be eased. The justice I offended, he has pleased. The bliss that I have forfeit, he procured. The curse that I deserved, he endured. The law that I have broken, he obeyed. The debt that I contracted, he has paid. And though a match unfit for him I be, I find him every way most fit for me. Sweet Lord, I think, would thou thyself impart, I'd welcome thee with open hand and heart. But thou that savedst by price, must save by power. Oh, send thy spirit in a fiery shower, this cold and frozen heart of mine to thaw, that naught save cords of burning love can draw. Oh, draw me, Lord, then will I run to thee, and glad unto thy glowing bosom flee. I own myself a mass of sin and hell, a brat that can do nothing but rebel. But didst thou not, as sacred pages show, when rising up to spoil the hellish crew that had by thousands sinners captive made, and hadst in conquering chains them captive led, get donatives, not for thy proper gain, but royal bounties for rebellious men, gifts, graces, and the spirit without bounds, for God's new house with man on firmer grounds. Oh, then let me a rebel now come speed, thy Holy Spirit is the gift I need. His precious graces too, the glorious grant, thou kindly promised, and I greatly want. Thou art exalted to the highest place, to give repentance forth and every grace. O giver of spiritual life and breath, the author and the finisher of faith, thou husband-like must everything provide, if e'er the like of me become thy bride.
Section 5. Faith's view of the freedom of grace, cordial renunciation of all its own ragged righteousness, and formal acceptance of and closing with the person of glorious Christ. The bride with open eyes that once were dim sees now her whole salvation lies in him, the Prince, who is not in dispensing nice, but freely gives without her pains or price. This magnifies the wonder in her eye, who not a farthing has wherewith to buy. For now her humbled mind can disavow her boasted beauty and assuming brow. With conscious eye discern her emptiness, with candid lips her poverty confess. Oh, glory to the Lord that grace is free, else never would it light on guilty me. I nothing have with me to be its price, but hellish blackness, enmity, and vice. In former times she durst presuming come to grace's market with a pretty sum of duties, prayers, tears, a boasted set, expecting heaven would thus be in her debt. These were the price, at least she did suppose. She'd be the welcomer because of those. But now she sees the vileness of her vogue, the dung that close to every duty clog, the sin that doth her holiness reprove, the enmity that close attends her love, the great heart hardness of her penitence, the stupid dullness of her vaunted sense, the unbelief of former blazed faith, the utter nothingness of all she hath, the blackness of her beauty she can see, the pompous pride of strained humility, the naughtiness of all her tears and prayers, and now renounces all her worthless wares, and finding nothing to commend herself but what might damn her embezzled pelf, at sovereign grace's feet doth prostrate fall, content to be in Jesus' debt for all. Her noised virtues vanish out of sight, as starry tapers at meridian light, while sweetly, humbly, she beholds at length Christ as her only righteousness and strength. He with the view throws down his loving dart, impressed with power into her tender heart. The deeper that the law's fierce dart was thrown, the deeper now the dart of love goes down. Hence, sweetly pained, her cries to heaven do flee. Oh, none but Jesus, none but Christ for me. Oh, glorious Christ, oh, beauty, beauty rare. 10,000,000 heavens are not so fair. In him at once all beauties meet and shine, the white and ruddy, human and divine. As in his low, he's in his high abode, the brightest image of the unseen God. How justly do the harpers sing above his doing, dying, rising, reigning love! How justly does he, when his work is done, possess the center of his Father's throne! How justly do his awful throne before seraphic armies prostrate him adore! That's both by nature and donation crowned, with all the grandeur of the Godhead round. But wilt thou, Lord, in every deed come dwell with me that was a burning brand of hell, with me, so justly reckoned worse and less than insect, mite, or atom can express? Wilt thou debase thy high imperial form to match with such a mortal crawling worm? Yea, sure thine errand to our earthly coast was in deep love to seek and save the lost. And since thou deign'st the like of me to wed, oh, come, and make my heart thy marriage bed. Fair Jesus, wilt thou marry filthy me? Amen, 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 so let it be.